Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shoman. On the program tonight, the Supreme Court says that in cases, the six-month so-called cooling-off period for those seeking a divorce through mutual consent can be waived. Well, for many couples who simply want out of a marriage, this comes as a huge relief. The process of getting a divorce through mutual consent is now much easier. From a minimum of 18 months, which is what was required, so far, it's now down to a year. The key point to stress, however, is that these are mutual consent cases, not cases where separation has been challenged and there are disputes. What we want to do on this program is to look at the new ruling through the changing reality of urban India. Are marriages no longer as sacrosanct as they once were? Is this directly linked to the greater financial independence of women? Have traditional values been eroded? And can or should the grant of divorce come even sooner? Remember, our courts are clogged with divorce cases. Well, on now to our main focus this evening. The new Supreme Court ruling, according to which the six-month cooling-off period can be waived by a judge in the case of mutual consensual divorce for Hindu couples. So what exactly did the Supreme Court say? Well, the court said individual judges will now decide if the six-month wait can be waived for couples who agree that they want out. If there are no chances of reunion, the court shouldn't be powerless in enabling the parties to have better options. The six-month waiver should apply where the couple has settled differences including alimony and child custody. It is pointless to perpetuate a purposeless marriage and prolong agony of the parties. Well, joining us now to look at this, Vandana Shah. She's an award-winning divorce lawyer and author, a columnist and social entrepreneur. She's also a divorcee, thrown out of her marital home with just the clothes on her back and 750 rupees in the bank. She rebuilt her world and founded the first Indian support group to help people going through a divorce 360 degrees back to life. Thanks very much for being with us. Also joined this evening by Mrinalini Deshmukh, one of the country's leading divorce lawyers, and the activist Rahul Ishwar joins us from Kochi. Vandana, I'd like to come to you first. The court said that it's pointless, and I quote, to perpetuate a purposeless marriage and to prolong the agony of the parties. Is this a recognition that the process till now was essentially a torture, particularly for those couples who were clear they didn't want marriage, they wanted out?
Good evening, Vishu. Thank you for having me on the show, and a good evening to my fellow panelists and the viewers. And I'd just like to say that we have to look at this ruling in the socio-legal context that the judges have passed it in. Mm-hmm. The first and most important point is divorce is here to stay. Whether we like it or not, it is that unwanted house guest. Divorce in India is here to stay. Secondly, and most importantly, I think the judiciary is ahead of the curve. Although divorce is still a stigma in India, but they have not said that you have to wait endlessly for a divorce. And you mentioned in my introduction that I'm a divorcee. That's correct. Because I went from a litigant to a counselor to finally a divorce lawyer all in the span of 10 years. And it took me 10 years to get my divorce. So when you say that it is pointless to stay in a marriage that is over, I absolutely endorse this judgment, especially taking the socio-legal context in mind. And I must say, I always speak from the point of view of a litigant, having been one, and now as a divorce lawyer, where I also see and empathize with the pain that the women who come to me seeking for divorce go through. And, you know, when a marriage is over, Vishnu, to ask a couple to actually stay back and say that 6 months you must stay together, I think it is absolutely painful for them. The lawyers who are on both sides of a mutual consent divorce, I think we end up becoming their caretakers.
Yep.
Because you know the marriage is over, you've already filed in court, and you are still bound to stay together and be a couple in the true sense of the word. And you just keep on fighting and litigating. And just the fact that the marriage is over is why you are before the court.
Okay.
So I think it is an absolutely landmark judgment.
Sure.
It will change the landscape of divorces in India.
Okay, Mrinalini, let me come to you first and then to Rahul. The flip side to all of this is, what about those cases? And we need to be very clear with our viewers over here that we are only talking about mutual consent. Because the point is that a lot of people are going through tortuous divorce proceedings. These are not mutual consent cases at all. And even if an argument for mutual consent has been put forward by the parties, a judge will need to ensure whether a mutual consent can be granted and whether that cooling off period can be waived or not. So ultimately, the power still resides with the judge to see whether or not this cooling off period should go or should stay. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is what I'm saying. Even the section says that the it is to the satisfaction of the court that after the parties have willingly submitted for a divorce by mutual consent, and the initial section said that it has to be 1 year from the date of marriage, and the section 13B clause 2 says that it will be only after a minimum period of 6 months and maximum 18 months, which is the duration of a divorce petition, that if the court is satisfied that the parties are unable to live together and that divorce is in the best interest of both the parties, then on the satisfaction of the court may pass the decree. Now, what this judgment has done, now this is the original section, which was brought about by the amendment to the Hindu Marriage Act in the year 1976, similarly in the Special Marriage Act. Now, what this current judgment says, which is under discussion, is that section 13B sub clause 2, which says that there has to be a mandatory waiting period for 6 months, whether the court question is it a mandatory thing or whether it is a directory thing, that is a discretionary thing. And this judgment holds that as per their understanding and interpretation of the section, the section 13B sub clause 2 could be viewed in exceptional circumstances. Please see the first 4 or 5 lines of the judgment says in exceptional circumstances can be viewed as a directory mandate where the courts which are dealing with these matters, if they feel that both the parties, the consent obtained is free and voluntary, the terms have been complied with, they've been separated for a reasonable period of time, no possibility of a reconciliation, then under such exceptional circumstances, extending the agony period for 6 months just because the statute says and the lower courts are bound by the statutes, this discretion is now given to the lower courts to consider on the individual cases that would come before them. It does not mean that in all cases the courts will do it. The final discretion and the satisfaction of the court is of paramount consideration.
Okay. Rahul, let me come to you. A lot of people would say that the court judgment reflects what is happening all around us, particularly in urban India, where marriages are perhaps, some would argue, no longer as sacrosanct as they were once believed to be. Why do I say that? There is greater financial independence of women. There is a greater desire of young people particularly to move beyond and look beyond a marriage. A marriage is not the end all and be all of life. There is more to look forward to, perhaps a new relationship, perhaps no relationship. Therefore, do you welcome this progressive judgment by the judge, or do you believe that we need to perhaps not consider this in the manner in which we are? Rahul Ishwar.
I would say the judgment is sad and disappointing. We need to have an ethical responsibility to uphold the institution of marriage and family, because that forms the basic core unit of society. Marriage is sacrosanct. That idea is a sacred institution. It is not merely a contractual marriage. Even legally, Hindu marriage is not merely a contractual marriage. We still believe that sacrosanct aspect should be there. If we really have to go for a progressive thing, the real progressive thing is a marriage education act, like in the United States of America, state Colorado. Colorado has a marriage education, has a premarital education clause that is mandatory, so that the men who are from Mars and the women who are from Venus, when they need to settle in Earth, they need to have proper orientation and education. The rising divorces are not because of financial interpretation. That's only a less liberal interpretation. The rising divorces are because there is no proper marriage orientation in India. We have done extensive research in it, and I was lucky to be a part of Kerala State Government Youth Commission, where we proposed a law that makes premarital education mandatory. And Kerala has the highest percentage of divorce.
As part of this premarital law, Rahul, that you have endorsed, does it say anywhere that you have to live in that marriage forever, even if it is not working out?
See, nobody is saying that you have to suffer at that marriage. But what we are saying is there should not be impulsive breakdown of marriage. Many youngsters need to have a cool-off period. They need to introspect. They need to reconsider many things. And the only thing about the cooling-off period is they need to have more time for deliberation, introspection. And the core issue is different. The core issue is not regarding technicality. The core issue is a principle, a philosophy, an approach to the whole institution of marriage and life.
No, but Vandana, would you like to respond? Would you like to respond to that?
What Rahul Ishwar is saying
that it's the principle of the marriage which needs to be held first, right?
Marriage has been extremely sacrosanct in India. If you look at our marriage industry, we spend billions of dollars on marriage. And if you see our divorce rate in context with the United States, which Rahul just mentioned, we are still looking at our marriage breakup rate only as 13 in 1,000 end up in divorces versus the United States where it is 500 to 1,000. So it is not a question of that there is not enough education about marriage. Actually, marriage is the final goal in India. Now what is happening is that goalpost is shifting. It is not going into marriages being for 7 lifetimes. Now it is saying, okay, things are not working out. I have an option. So I needn't be in an abusive marriage and I need not be in an adulterous marriage or in a marriage which is dead. If you may recall, Vishnu, a few years ago, there was also an idea mooted in the parliament about irretrievable breakdown of marriage. I think this judgment is veering towards that end, albeit it is restricted to divorce by mutual consent. But what we need to look at is the judges are talking about divorce being here to stay. We are also saying that, you know, there is, although the Hindu Marriage Act provides for restitution of conjugal rights, they also say that divorce is now freely available. Let us accept the fact the divorce rates are rising in India. We've gone from 1 in 1,000 about a decade ago to 13 in 1,000 now. So it's not that we are uneducated about marriage. It's just that for very, very long. And I will point out about my previous marriage, which was an abusive marriage, where I was told I would amount to nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens in such a case? Do I continue living in such a marriage? I am glad that marriage ended in a divorce, because it gives you a new lease of life. Probably I would not be sitting before you all.
So let me get Rahul to respond to that. Rahul, this is
if I hadn't gone through a bad marriage. So I just think
Rahul, Vandana is speaking so honestly about what she has had to encounter in the past. There are tens of thousands of people across the country right now in our big cities who are in abusive relationships which aren't working. Why should dogma and tradition come in the way of someone wanting out? What sense does that make in 2017? And to the point, Rahul, that you were talking about the United States,
In India, the
divorce rate presently is only about 1%, where the estimates are that 90% of marriages are still arranged. And therefore, the rates of divorce are still not stratospherically high. Rahul?
There are two things. One, ma'am, I'm very sad about what happened to you. Nobody is saying that we should stay in an abusive marriage. But having said that, we should strengthen the roots of marriage. That's the only humble submission. Second, let me quote a world-respected progressive, secular, scientific pope, Pope Francis, on marriage and family. He says there is a global ideological war against the traditional marriage and family system. Please see that it is not coming from a normal person. It is coming from one of the most respected, one of the most progressive in quotes, one of the most liberal folks we ever had. There is an ideological technology shift which portrays marriage and the institution of family in a bad light as something unprogressive, if I can use that word. So we need to have a change in that perspective. We need to value the whole institution of family, because the monogamic family system is the most successful system in the human history, at least for the past 10,000 years. So we need to value that system. That's the reason why some kind of family education should be there. And in India, for example, take Kerala's case. from 2003 to 2013, 667% of rise in divorces, family breakdowns were happening in Kerala. And Kerala government youth commission have done a detailed study, and we found out it was very high in Hindu majority community, and it was very less in Christian community. The reason being, Christian community had a proper pre-marital education, marriage preparation course, where they orient, where they unite people, where they educate and give insights into the nature of marriage and family. And
okay. Okay, I take the point, Rahul, I take the point you're mentioning. I want to go across to Mrinalini. I think he makes an important point, Mrinalini, that the institution of marriages needs to be strengthened in as much as women and men have the rights to get into a mutual consent, if possible, get into a speedy divorce, if it works out, the institution of marriage, the importance of counseling, the efforts that one needs to take to sort out a marriage before people opt out. Is this something which is also a threat?
Vishnu, I don't know. Am I audible? Because
yes, go ahead.
Am I audible to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the point here is that please let us focus on what is held in this judgment and what is the impact that it is going to have on the number of cases which are there. This judgment is absolutely crystal clear in its reading and interpretation, which means that in exceptional cases where parties are battling for a long time before the filing of the divorce, and there are conditions which are mentioned in para 7, para 13 and para 18 of this judgment which is there. Under such circumstances, which can be classified as exceptional circumstances, the courts may waive the 6-month statutory period and they may give the relief to the parties earlier. Now, please appreciate one thing, that in the same judgment, the courts have said that the Supreme Court has said that the trial court which is dealing with these matters has to be satisfied that there has been counseling, all issues relating to the ancillary reliefs like custody, alimony, asset distribution, etc. have been taken care of, that there is no force, coercion or fraud on the parties which is there, and the parties willingly want to do it because they want to move on in life. Only under such circumstances, to the satisfaction of the court, the 6 months period may be waived. I think there is nothing wrong. The courts, that is the apex court, is still considering the institution of marriage as very sacrosanct, like all of us are doing here. But the courts are talking about these exceptional circumstances, which is mentioned in the first few lines of the judgment, where the courts feel do not keep people trapped in an agony, pain for 6 months only because the statute says so. If you can curtail their agony,
yeah.
And this is what the legislation is,
yeah.
And this is what justice is, and justice is to a larger good which is there. And if such people want a relief, why should the courts not come to the rescue of such people? Nobody is saying that you touch the institution of family. We all want the families to grow. That is the basis and the ethos of the Indian culture and the values. And Rahul, I'm 2000% with you on this. But I am only talking about those cases. Please let's not mix up the issues. Only in cases where people have gone through this, let them have the option of moving around. And please do not keep them bound in this agony and in this pain. That's all that I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us this evening. It is an important judgment. It is certainly going to impact the lives of a lot of people out there in the country. Our courts at this stage are overwhelmed with matrimonial disputes. The number as of November 2016, 3 lakh cases. Kerala, as Rahul rightly mentioned, the largest number, or over 52,000 cases. One way or the other, there is a process which is available. There is a process that people need to go through. Hopefully a marriage can be saved. But if it can't be saved, then perhaps it's time to do away with dogma and look at the future and grant a divorce. Thank you all very much for joining us.